So, Jeff, one of my favorite podcasts to listen to is a show called Another Mother Runner. It's about running. Shocking, I know. But one of my favorite episodes that they do every year is they do this summer book thing. So it's either books you're going to read over the summer or books you might listen to on audiobook when you're out there running. And it's because the hosts love books just like I do.
I'm not surprised by any of this.
I know. And I've been wanting to, I always said, like, if I ever have a podcast, I totally want to do a book episode. So here we are. I have a podcast. And so big thanks to Serendipity, the host of that show, for giving me the idea. We are doing our live recording today inside Face in a Book bookstore in El Dorado Hills, California. We're here with store owner Tina Ferguson.
Hey there.
So glad to have you. We're going to be going over all kinds of really good stuff. And we've got a live audience with us.
Oh, yes. Woo!
Totally rowdy bunch here today. Hopefully they'll behave themselves.
It's because they're not reading right now. That's exactly why they're so rowdy.
Yep, they're idle. We got to get them going.
Yes.
So Tina, you just got back from the Book Expo in New York City.
I did. It was phenomenal.
So cool. So it's basically like the publishing industry's biggest trade event. So they got publishers and writers, influencers, all kinds of people there trying to figure out what we're going to be reading. So on this Dying to Ask, we're going behind the scenes of the Book Expo. Finding out, how does a book get onto store shelves or at your library these days, some of the best ways to find a book that you will love over the summer. And then we're going to nerd out, Tina, with some of our best picks for summer reads.
My fave.
Now, if you are listening while you're working out or doing something, don't worry, we'll have you covered on that as well. And Jeff, I'm just going to tell you now, this might be our first two-hour episode.
Yeah, this has me worried.
Yeah, you're not going to let it happen, are you?
We'll see. We'll see how well I can hold the reins.
Yeah, you better have like a lasso or something. All right, here we go. Here is Dying to Ask. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. They write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast. Tina Ferguson, we're so excited to be in your store today for a live podcast taping.
I know, it's great.
We have an audience.
I love an audience.
I'm not surprised by that somehow.
Almost more than I love a stage.
As much as you love a book?
No, never.
Okay. How long have you been a bookstore owner now?
This is our 7th year. We opened in 2012, and it's just been an amazing journey.
What's the best thing about running a bookstore?
The best thing about running a bookstore is just watching people connect with other people and to connect with a book. Like, back here at my desk, no one can see me when they walk in the front door, and just to hear the gasps of, they have this book, or they have this, or they you know, I can smell the books, or I can touch the books. It's just this wonderful feeling to be able to connect people with that.
I totally get the, I can smell the books. Because books have different smells
they
depending
do,
on the way they're
printed.
They do,
and textures, and all of that. And it's just a remarkable opportunity to do that.
We're going to do a couple things today. We are going to go through summer beach picks, which is something you and I have done on the television side of all of this over the years. But you just got back from the New York Book Expo, which I was so fascinated to learn about. So the New York Book Expo is like the largest trade show for your industry.
It is. And it's surprising because this was the first time I had the opportunity to go, and there's just thousands of people all over the place. There's these huge banners about books that are just like massive. Like, they would fill this room. They're so big. It's just remarkable. And all the publishers are there with these trade booths that look like miniature bookstores. I mean, they've got counters and shelving and all these books out everywhere. And there's all these lines of autographing authors. And it's just remarkable. So I thought, wow, there's so many booksellers here.
So who goes? It's people like you who own bookstores, librarians,
bloggers. Fans, people that just simply love books. But it's interesting to know that only 15% of the attendees are booksellers.
Really?
Yes, 15%. The rest are bloggers, librarians, and book lovers.
And so are the bloggers and the influencers, because I saw that a lot of them go to this as well, are they a real driving force in pushing what titles end up in stores like yours or like in the kiosks that you see at the airports?
I'm not sure that they're the drivers, but they certainly catch the ear of the publishers, because publishers want to know, you know, what are people talking about? What are people buzzing about? And so when they can have these, you know, one-on-one times with these bloggers, then they can help push what the publishers want to push, if the bloggers love it, you know?
Is that by just exposing them to it?
Or I think so.
For the most
part?
That's really interesting. So,
and giving the bloggers advanced copies of the books. You know, you'll see a lot of times on blogs or on Goodreads where people are given a book in advance to read by a publisher. And so you'll see a lot of times, you know, I'm writing this review because I received this free book. This is an honest review kinds of thing. So it just starts to push the buzz out into the world.
Do you put much faith into those? Because I always think, well, if somebody got something for free, they're unlikely to say, this is the worst thing I ever read.
You know what? No, I do put faith into them because we receive lots of advanced copies use too as booksellers here at our store. And we're very honest about how we feel about them. Sometimes we don't even finish them because we don't really like them that much. But the ones that we love, we are able to, you know, give that back feedback back to the publishers, and that helps them to get that buzz out there.
What were the biggest trends that you noticed at Book Expo this year?
Interestingly enough, romance is coming back, but it's not the bodice-ripping romance that we grew up with, you know, that our moms read that we didn't know that they read.
Oh, we knew they were reading.
We knew, but they didn't
we
think
knew.
We knew. But you know, it's fun. Romance with more multicultural characters.
That's interesting.
And so that's a trend that's coming out.
Do you know when I knew romance was a big deal? Was when I went to San Francisco and I saw the house that Danielle Steele lives in. I'm like, oh, that's how many people read romance.
Yes.
Absolutely. So what do you attribute to that, or what did the book owner or the booksellers?
I don't know. I think that there's just a lot of people wanting connection. I think that that's really what people are craving and wanting, and especially I think the younger generation is enjoying these books because the characters in these books are like in their 20s. They're not like, you know, like me in my 50s. They're these younger people that are searching for connection in this media frenzy world, and I think that that's a really big trend.
Is that what millennials are reading?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, some of them are, for sure.
What else is big?
I think unreliable narrators are big.
What does that mean?
So an unreliable narrator in a book is someone that's, you know, talking in their first person, they're writing the book, but you just don't know if you can trust what they're saying. Are they telling the truth? Are they telling the whole truth? Are they telling just their side? It's just a fascinating thing, and so it's kind
of
fun.
Is that because of books like Gone Girl that became
yeah.
so? Okay.
Gone Girl was definitely an unreliable narrator, and it's just very, very popular.
That is an understatement.
For sure. Yeah,
so
I know.
So have you read Gone Girl?
No, but Julie has.
This is his wife. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Sleep with one eye open.
Yes. You really should, Jeff. Yeah. You should be very, very careful and do not ride trains.
Never.
For a while.
No. Also, I think another trend that I saw a lot of actually at Book Expo is subscription boxes for books. You know, you see these subscription boxes for like Stitch Fix for clothes, FabFit for like cosmetics and things like that. There's even one for jewelry. But now they're starting to have subscription box services for books.
Really?
Yes.
Is that like working? Because I only say that because with books, they're so personal.
They are, but the thing is, I think that if you work with your bookstore, and you know, just like you would work with any of those websites, you kind of whittle down your choices, whittle down your genres. I like this, I don't like that. And then you have to trust your bookstore and your bookseller to put together something that makes sense for you. It's really great for gift-giving time at Christmas to do a subscription box for kids' books, like the new releases that come out for the kids. Or, you know,
makes them excited to go to the mailbox.
Yes, for babies, you know, those cute little board books and things like that. So, and we've done it before for people that have like family, mothers and fathers that live out of town. Their mom really loves cozy mysteries. And so we send them a mystery every month.
That's fun.
Subscription services are a big deal.
I noticed that a lot more books, it feels like, are being released in paperback first. Is that just me seeing that?
A lot of books are going straight to trade paperback just because the cost of a hardcover is getting so expensive. You know, as I order for the, you know, the season coming up in 6 months, I'm noticing hardcovers at $30, $32. That's just a hefty amount to pay for a book, especially when it might be a debut book. Like, you don't even know who this author is. Do you really want to shell out $30 for someone you don't know? It depends. You know, it depends on, you know, how that's recommended, what the subject matter is. But I think that some publishers are going straight to paper, especially for debut authors.
Interesting.
Because it's a lot more accessible for the general public.
When people come into a store and you're recommending, and I think librarians are like this too, it seems to me that you guys play that part. It's like the Cheers thing where you're kind of everything for everyone. And you can figure out a lot about a person just from a few sentences.
Yes.
How do you match people with books? Like, how can you figure out what they'd like?
The first question that I'll ask is, what have you read lately?
Okay, let's role play with Jeff.
Oh.
No.
Wow. And suddenly Jeff looks terrified.
So Jeff, what have you recently read that you liked?
I've read my phone.
Jeff.
Let's see. The last book that I read cover to cover that I completely loved. Without pictures. By actually John Krakauer, former journalist.
Yes.
Into the Wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about that book did you enjoy? Was it the fact that it was nonfiction or that it was outdoors?
I liked the combination of the journalistic writing with the character himself.
All right.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a therapy session. This is good. Okay, continue.
I hear you. And I see you.
It's okay to feel that way, Jeff.
Yeah, it is. So then what I would then suggest is I would walk him over to whatever section that the particular book was in, and I might recommend Fire Season, which is a book that this gentleman wrote as he's looking for fires from his little, you know, hideout up in the woods. You might enjoy that because it's, you know, outdoors, journalistic style. I might point you to Janice, correct me, is it The Last Man in America?
Oh, yes.
The Last American Man, same type of genre. And so I would recommend those two books to him and then go from there. If he said no, thank you, then I would
shut the door and tell him to never come back again.
We would just keep trying.
That's fascinating. So what's your success rate? Pretty good?
Pretty darn good. Yes. The toughest people to please are the kids.
Yeah. Well, they're very honest.
No. No. You know, so I have great success with adults, and with the children, we just keep working.
Must be very rewarding, though, when you can turn someone into a reader.
It is. It really is. And especially, like, we have this one customer that comes in, and he's very similar to me. He doesn't like a tidy ending, and he likes a quirky book. So I love it when he comes in, because he'll say, okay, what have you got for me? And I've out-quirked him. Like, I suggested a book that he was like, this is too quirky for me. So that was kind of a success, actually, even though he didn't really love it.
I love that. I don't like a tidy ending.
I don't.
Well, we need to end this segment, and I'm trying to think of a good tidy ending because Jeff does like a tidy ending. So we'll just say we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to start going through some of our picks for best summer beach reads. You have, well, a million books because we're in a store, and I've brought some of the ones that were on my nightstand. We got a wide variety of books.
We do.
Hopefully,
I love
a little
it.
Something for everyone. And if that quirky guy is listening, I'm pretty sure we got something here for you too.
Probably.
We'll be back with more of Dying to Ask right after this. 22 what? As we record this, that's how many Democrats are in the race now to unseat the Republican president, Donald Trump, as president. 22!
Wow.
Our Hearst Television Commitment 2020 coverage extends to the podcast world this year with WMUR-TV's The Trail. Host Adam Sexton interviews all the big names as they make their way through the battleground that is New Hampshire. Check out The Trail wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I know people who are listening to this while they're working out or they're doing stuff around the house, you're going to be like stopping and trying to write things on your phone, which is fine, but we'll also make sure that we put this onto all the social sites as well so you can just see all the titles. So
definitely.
No need to have to stop what you're doing. All right, Tina,
keep
lead
listening.
Us out. What are we starting
All right,
with?
So my very first book that I want to talk about is Rules for Visiting by Jessica Frances Kane. It's just a really nice, feel-good book. So when you're at the beach, you want to feel good. You don't want to get too intense, right? But it's just a really nice story about this gal who's 40, gets a surprise sabbatical from work, and does not know what to do with herself. So she decides, I think I'll go visit some of my old friends from high school and college. And she does, and those visits are what the book is about. And some of them go really well, and some of them go not so well, but it's real. And that's what I appreciate about a book like this. It's a feel-good book, but it's also real in how it presents itself. And so it's a great read. You really love it.
I could really see that being a movie, too. Couldn't you
see
that?
Oh, definitely.
It would be a
yes.
great movie.
Yes, it would.
So my first one that I'm going to do is The Library Book by Susan Orlean. And she also wrote The Orchid Thief, which was another fantastic book. I love this book. Reese Witherspoon did it as part of her book club. And I think most of her picks have been really good.
Yes.
Like fun, easy reading. So this is the story of something that I bet a lot of people don't even remember. I know I didn't. It was of the big downtown L.A. public library fire back in 1986. It happened in April of 1986. And it started because Susan Orlean had gone down to do some research down at the library. And one of the librarians said something to her like, oh, yeah, that book still smells like fire. And she said, what fire? And she starts looking, and then she realizes that there had been this massive fire. 400,000 books were destroyed that day. 700,000 books were damaged. The library was closed for 7 years. But the backstory of what people in L.A. did that day to try to save as many books as they could was like monumental. So then you think, well, why don't I remember this if it was such a big news story? Chernobyl happened the same day.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
That
and so
is.
That's why, as Chernobyl was melting down, people really didn't know it. So this book is It's fascinating. Part of it is the history of the library and the role that libraries play in our society and have played as they've developed over the last century. Some of it's a whodunit. Mm. There's a lot of just great literature stuff in it.
Of course.
And it's just really fun. So
nice.
I can't recommend it enough. It's a gorgeous cover.
Yes.
And I'm not surprised it's been a bestseller.
It's a great pick.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I impressed Tina.
Always.
What you got, Tina? You're
okay,
up.
Okay. So my next books that I'm going to talk about, sometimes you want something light and just really nice to read, and sometimes you want something that you can't put down. And so these two books, At What Cost and Bury the Past, are by a local mystery author. His name is James Latoile. He's a friend of the bookstore. He brings his therapy dogs to our store once a month to read with kids. And what I love about these is they take place in Sacramento. And so it's really fun to be able to read a book where you're like, oh, I know that. It's kind of like watching Lady Bird, only you're reading a book where like, oh, I know that place, and I've been there, and I've seen that. And I like his book so much because it's not just about the mystery, you know, that you're trying to solve and you're trying to figure out. It's a lot of family and a lot of, you know, relationships that you discover and you read about. Because, you know, really, when someone is murdered, when something happens like that, it affects people. And so that's at the core of his books, too. So Unputdownable, great reads. They're not super long, so it's not like you're in a long-term relationship. You know, you can read a couple of these on your vacation, which I love.
That is
so
great.
These are awesome.
She
I
just
agree.
Doubled up. Is that part of the rules, or allowed to do two books in one?
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. That sounds like a throwdown.
Sorry about that.
Wow. All right. Well, let me see what I got for you. All right. So my next one is the paperback edition of Tell Me More by Kelly Corgan. So Kelly is one of my favorite essayist, memoirist yes. type writers these days. She lives in the Bay Area. And the first book she wrote was called The Middle Place, which I have given to so many of my friends.
Yes.
It was actually originally given to me by my dear friend Edie Lambert many years ago. And The Middle Place was about that weird place you find yourself in life when you're somebody's parent and you're still somebody's kid, but maybe you're not going to be somebody's kid for much longer. And it's that middle place of life. You're not there, Jeff, but I'm going to tell you it's awful.
It is.
Jeff's young. He's got some time, but it is a very strange time. So anyway, that is a book that I just adored. And then I had a chance to interview her years later, which was really awesome. So I'm a huge fan of hers. Tell Me More is a series of chapters that start with very simple sentences or just words to help encourage conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you a couple examples. This is 12 of the hardest things that she's had to learn how to say. Tell Me More is a way to get people to continue mm-hmm. talking. So let's say you're talking to that older parent who maybe doesn't talk about a part of your family history.
Yes.
Because they stopped talking, you're nodding, you get it. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. It's hard for somebody to go, no.
Unless they're a kid.
And
they
and
say that.
They do. But it's interesting. Jeff and I do that in journalism
nice.
All the time.
Okay.
Tell me more about that. And it's a very effective mm-hmm. way to do it. Some of the other things. I was wrong. Super hard to say. But very important to learn. I don't know. I hate it when my kid says that, but I think it's interesting that they respond when I tell them I don't know something, and I don't know a lot of stuff. And then another one that she talks about is good enough, letting your kid go, you know what? You got into the school you really wanted to go. It doesn't matter that you didn't get into the reach school good enough. So tell
exactly.
me more. Great one, not only for interacting with your family differently, but maybe for just thinking about the way you interact with mm-hmm. yourself as well.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great one. I love nonfiction when I'm doing some of my beach reads. I always take like a fiction and a nonfiction with me. And this is Trevor Noah's Born a Crime. It's now in paperback. This is an outstanding read. I didn't know much about him. I just kind of knew he was on late night TV. But not only do you learn more about him growing up in South Africa, but you learn about the whole apartheid and how he was born a crime. It was illegal for white and black people to have relationships. And here he's born a crime, right? Because it was illegal for his parents to have gotten together. And for him, there's like white and black, but he's like in this middle place. And there was no place for him growing up. And it was just remarkable to learn about this culture, learn about him, because it's very different from what we know here in our history. And just to hear it firsthand from him being in the center of it was just fascinating.
Does he write it himself?
He does write it himself. And at points it's humorous. At points it's will bring you to tears at points. You'll gasp and go, I can't believe that that was ever how people lived.
And not very long ago.
And not very long ago. So it's great. The chapters are very brief, so you can kind of just read a chapter, take a snooze, read a chapter, mm-hmm. get a drink.
It is summer.
It is summer after all. But really enjoyed this read quite a bit, so that's another one.
That sounds great. That's a great book for a plane, it feels like, especially with the shorter chapters,
yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
I love that. All right, so my next one, I am, and Jeff knows this because I brought it up a lot, I'm obsessed with the Theranos case. Do you know about Theranos? So there's a book, Bad Blood, and it's by John Carreyrou. John Carreyrou was a Wall Street Journal reporter who had covered Theranos for years. And this is basically the summation of how the whole thing happened. So for people who don't know, this is the rise and fall of a company that was called Theranos. It was a biotech startup, and at one point it was valued at $9 billion. Everybody invested in this. Larry Ellison invested in it, Tim Draper, and the idea was that you were going to revolutionize the medical industry with a new blood testing process. And the reason it was a big deal was it was basically like a pinprick for your blood through a machine that was going to be set up in Walgreens stores. I mean, how easy is that versus having to go into a lab and have sometimes very painful blood draws? So that's why people were so excited about it. People considered Elizabeth Holmes, who was the founder of this company, Stanford dropout, they considered her to be the next Steve Jobs. She considered herself that way as well. She wore like all black like he did. She deepened her voice like to be taken more seriously because she was super young. This girl was in her 20s when she was coming up with all this. It was an amazing idea. The only hitch was it didn't work. The technology didn't work. It was considered to be the biggest corporate fraud since Enron. And this is the story of like how this could possibly happen. And she right now is in all kinds of big trouble with the feds, and that is now just kind of being resolved. But this book, Bad Blood, is fascinating. My book club read this, and the discussion was fantastic.
And I hear that it reads like a novel.
It reads like you can't believe it happened.
Right.
You're right. It reads like fiction because you think there's no way that particular person got duped by her. And yet they did. There's some really big names in here. It will shock you. And then if I can just throw out a little podcast, I can suggest another podcast, right?
Sure.
They don't need our help, though. It's The Dropout. This is great. If you get sucked in like I did, Rebecca Jarvis, who works for ABC News, put together this 5 or 6 part series on Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes called The Dropout, kind of like patterned after her being a dropout out of Stanford. This thing is so well done. They go back and they talk to everybody that John talks to in this book, and it is absolutely fascinating. And like I said, they don't need our help to push their podcast. It's been number one for like 6 months and well deserved. It's really, really good.
Awesome.
So
that's
Bad
great.
Blood. Check that
Bad
out.
Bad Blood. Nice. I like it.
Do we have time for one more, Jeff?
We can do one more quick one.
One more quick one.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to recommend Normal People by Sally Rooney. This was recommended to me by some of my bookseller friends that had read it before it came out. This was way back in January. They read it as an advance copy and they said, you need to read this. And I said, okay, I trust you. You're booksellers. What I like about this book is that it's just a book filled with people that make bad choices.
Oh.
And you so want them to get it right.
No shortage of those in life.
No, and you want them, you're rooting for them, you want them to get it right. And so it was kind of a fun read because every time they make a mistake, you think, okay, you can bounce back from this and you're rooting for them. And I'm not going to give away any of the ending because then you won't want to read it.
Oh, I like that. Normal People.
Normal
That's
People.
Sally Rooney. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back with some more good book picks. Since we're marking the 75th anniversary of the Normandy invasion and D-Day, I'm really obsessed with that type of history right now. So I've brought one that I think people will enjoy if they too like it. We'll be back with more Dying to Ask from Face in a Book bookstore, a live podcast taping. Our audience is being so quiet.
I know. Get rowdy, people. Get rowdy.
Woo! Right after this. Review of the week comes from A. Bloom, who says, enjoyed listening on a long commute. I love that.
That's a long commute.
It is. And that's how I listen to podcasts. Sometimes I don't live that far away. Sometimes I take the long way home just so I can keep listening to a show.
Yeah.
Sometimes I sit in the driveway and I finish it. Super fun like that. Thanks for the iTunes review, A. Bloom, and keep them coming.
So as we mentioned before the break, we recently celebrated the 75th anniversary of Normandy. I haven't read a lot of books on this subject, but I love movies on the subject, so I feel like I would love books on the subject,
too. I think you would. And you know what's interesting about that time in history is, and probably because we're hitting this big round anniversary time, I feel like, Tina, and correct me if I'm wrong, there are a lot of books coming out about the women of that time.
Yes.
Because some of the files from that time in Britain have been declassified recently. Mm-hmm. And so we're finding out the remarkable things that women did to help the movement to defeat the Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So a lot of good stuff coming out. A
lot of good stuff coming out with women, especially as the main protagonist in these books, and a lot of them in books that involve, you know, not just D-Day, but, you know, the Civil War, the, you know, the First World War. A lot of different. Yeah.
Okay, so the book that I brought, and I haven't read it yet. I actually bought it a couple of months ago.
What a great cover.
In an airport. Yeah, it's called D-Day Girls. It's by Sarah Rose, and it's set in 1942, and at the time the Allies were losing. Britain was basically out of men. They had put everybody they could on the front in France, and the Special Operations Executive, which is SOE for short, had to resort to very desperate measures. And for the SOE, the desperate measure was bringing women in to start doing some of the work. And so they recruited women to be spies. So the author, Sarah Rose, went through some of those declassified mm-hmm. files that I mentioned. She relied on journals that had been written from the time and some of the oral interviews. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of like the history, the details of things that these women did definitely are true, but it's still set in a fictional way. So, you know, you still have some like really fun characters to follow. Mm-hmm. It's very tight, and from what I understand, a lot of the dialogue is very witty too, which given the subject matter you might not expect. But I'm really excited to dig into this one this summer.
Cool. Well, so, you know, I'm going to kind of go off of that with my next pick, which is Transcription by Kate Atkinson. This takes place in World War II and then kind of moves into the future. And here's this young woman who just starts a job as a transcriptionist. And you think, well, you know, that's not really on the front lines of the, you know, of the war effort. But she kind of gets recruited into doing some spying. And, you know, she does a little bit of that, and I'm not going to get too much into that so that you can read about it. But then, you know, the war is over. She moves on with her life. She gets this great job as a producer with the BBC. And then the things from the war come back to haunt her. And so it's fiction, great female protagonist. And what I love about her is that she's real. Like, she does some stuff that you're like, I can't believe she did that. But then you still like her. So I really love that. So that's a great read.
Well, you don't like those tidy endings, so there you go.
I do not.
So my next one is a little bit different than the other one of the books we've talked about. It's a book called Influencer. It's by Brittany Hennessy, and she's somebody I'm really hoping we can get on the podcast one of these days. She is what's called an influencer marketing expert. And you might go like, what the heck is that? She's the person who places influencers, like you were talking about the book expo, mm-hmm. she's the one who like places them with companies.
Okay.
And so for a long time I thought, like, why are people giving influencers so much credibility? And after reading her book, I totally get it. So she actually was a former senior director of influencer strategy and partnerships at our company, at Hearst, mm-hmm. For a couple of years, and she brought a lot of people in for that. But what this book does is it explains why so many companies these days are flooding your Instagram feed or your Facebook feed with influencer content. So she talks about why they're considered so valuable, the power of word of mouth, which is basically what an influencer does. And then she also goes into how much money do some of these people make, and it is jaw-dropping to find out what goes into one picture. And you hear about it with like a Kardashian, but there are a lot of everyday people like book bloggers or, you know, other people who work, you know, in your industry, Tina, mm-hmm. who are making a pretty legit side living or full living doing this kind of thing. And wow. I guess what I got out of this book was finding out how much work some of them actually put into it.
Right.
It's not just taking a picture. There's a lot of thought and effort that goes into it. So
very cool.
Kind of interesting. It's called Influencer, and the author, again, is Brittany Hennessy.
Kind of behind the Instagram. I like it.
Basically, yeah. It makes you look at an Instagram feed in a whole new way.
I bet. Yeah. That's very cool. Hopefully what doesn't
we should have thought to do that, by the way.
Yeah. I am full of good ideas.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
And not enough time, that's for sure.
What's next?
Next is the Pulitzer Prize-winning book this past year, The Overstory by Richard Powers. This is a fantastic read. It's not, I wouldn't call it fantasy, but I would call it an environmental fable. And it's these five stories that kind of all interlock with each other, and I don't know how else to say it, is that the trees are central to this story, and you will never look at trees the same way again.
Say that again.
How's that?
Trees are central to this story, not just because they produce the paper that the book is written on, but because it's about these trees. It's a fable about the environment, and you will never look at trees the same again. It really humanizes them, and I think you'll be shocked at how much you love it.
I have never thought about trees the way you just described it, so I'm curious to see that.
Yeah, the overstory, it's amazing.
Really good. Okay.
I'm a little curious. Are there a lot of modern fables? Because when I think fables, I think like Homer.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
I think that that's coming up more and more, whether they call it a fable or not. There's a book that's coming out in August called The Hollow Kingdom that I would say is an apocalyptic fable about how the world ends and zombies come. However, you know, you could redeem that. And there's things about that when you read it that you think this is a warning, a fable for humans. It's great. So, yeah, I think fables are coming back in a different way.
My next book is memoir.
Nice.
And the backstory in this, it's by a woman named Katie Arnold. And years ago when my kids were small, my husband came home and he said, hey, you know, I have this friend Meg, and you should read her sister's blog. It's on Outside Magazine. So I checked it out, and his comment to me was, it's called Raising Rippers, and it's the blog you should be writing.
Oh.
Speaking of things you never do. But it was really about raising her girls in the outdoors and getting dirty and rough and just kind of doing things a little differently than we do as a society today. So flash forward a few years. I didn't write the blog. Katie Arnold not only continued writing the blog for Outside Magazine, but she's also written a memoir called Running Home. And this is the story it's a story about her relationship with her father and the kind of free fall she found herself feeling like she was in when she had small kids and her father died.
Wow.
And he died a really kind of drawn out, challenging, miserable death. And for anybody who's gone through the loss of a parent, not going to lie, you will totally relive part of that by reading her story. But she finds a lot of solace through running. And she was a talented athlete, but kind of like a weekend warrior type. She is now one of the top endurance runners in the country.
Wow.
And it was from kind of rediscovering herself and re-looking at the relationship she had with her father over her childhood that she just kind of brought herself back together. Mm. It's a beautiful book. You don't have to like running to like Running Home.
Oh, good.
It's
I'm so glad.
Tina is in again. But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. I've really, really enjoyed it. It's Running Home with Katie Arnold.
Awesome.
We should get her on the podcast too.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, the list is getting longer.
It is.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
So about, you know, some more fiction and some more, you know, strong female leads. So you remember Cold Mountain,
yes,
right, by Charles Frazier. So this is his book, Verena. It just recently came out in paper. And we all know about Jefferson Davis and the Confederacy, but this is about his wife, Verena. Mm. And first of all, I'm just going to open this book. It has these beautiful, this is what you can't get on an iPad, right? It's got these flaps. You can mark your place.
I love the flaps.
I love the French flaps. Plus, they're French flaps, and it just sounds.
Is that what it's called? French flaps?
Yes. And it just sounds so nice, right?
French flap.
And then the decal edge of the pages, it just feels so good.
That's a term I learned from you, a deco edge.
Decal edge.
I didn't learn it well, clearly, but a decal
edge.
Stay
with me here. Decal.
To the ends of the earth. Basically, it's when like the side of the page has that kind of almost like a ruffled.
Yeah, it's almost
feel.
Like a torn look, and it just is a beautiful thing, and it's tactile and it's beautiful and
smells she's
good.
Smelling the book for those of you who are listening.
But boy, this is just a tremendous novel, and he's just a tremendous writer. I mean, his writing is so spot on, and it's just a beautiful thing to take in. I love that kind of writing.
Okay, I can feel Jeff getting anxious. How many more? Because you know I'll keep going.
We do two more.
Two more, okay. This is another one. I haven't actually read it yet. I picked it up, again, in an airport. I buy a lot of books in airports.
I bet.
I know. Well, you probably do, too, when you're traveling, too. You ever?
No, I buy books at Face in a Book.
Well, I know that, but you cannot tell me you're not ever
okay,
out
no.
and, like, something comes to
I
you.
I did. I have. I bought Trevor Noah's Born a Crime at an airport.
Okay, the confessional is underway.
Okay,
so this book is called The Unhoneymooners. It's by Christina Lauren, and actually I heard about it on the Today Show's Summer Books Picks.
Okay.
And it looks like it's going to be fantastic. I'm not ruining the plot if I tell you it's one of those like hate to love type books, and you know how it all turns out. But
tidy.
It's how they get there that makes it kind of fun. It's tidy. Some of us are okay with a tidy
ending. I know,
ending.
And I like that.
the middle of my day is pretty untidy.
This is true.
Sometimes I like things to wrap up.
That is good.
So it's Amy and Dane's wedding. Their best man and maid of honor are their siblings. They hate each other.
Oh.
Amy apparently like put together the wedding all on like freebies and like Instagram deals or something. Everybody at the wedding gets food poisoning with the exception of, you guessed it, the best man and the maid of honor, who then go off on the freebie honeymoon but have to pose as the married couple.
I like it.
And hilarity ensues. The writing apparently is supposed to be very good. And I think if you're looking for super fun,
yes,
light, probably not going to change your world,
right,
but
yeah,
maybe may make like the time leading up to happy hour.
Absolutely.
That much better.
Even happier.
I think it's great.
There you
even
go.
Happier.
Mm. I like that. Okay, so I'm going to go to memoir now, since you went there, with The Honey Bus by Meredith May. This is such a delightful book. This is definitely a feel-good book. Meredith, she grew up as a kid in the Carmel Valley with her grandparents and her mother, who moved them there, who just wasn't available to her, just suffered from some mental illness and just wasn't available, just checked out. And so she then was brought up by her grandparents, and her grandfather had bees all over the Carmel Valley, and he processed the honey in this old, broken-down bus. And she spent a lot of time on this bus learning about bees, learning about honey, and learning about life. And after reading this book, I wanted to go get my own bees, and because it's fascinating what they do. And bees could teach us a lot about living in community.
I'm picturing you in a beekeeper outfit right now.
I would rock it.
Yeah.
It would be hot pink and blinged out, for sure.
Hashtag what could go wrong.
But it's really a... You have no idea. Lovely book, read it.
Oh, but I do.
I know, because you know me.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, these are some really great selections, and I know you're always recommending books to people. What are good ways for people to keep up with you?
Keep up with us through our Facebook. We post there pretty much almost daily. We do have a website that has, you know, a lot of other recommendations and suggestions for reading as well. Come into the bookstore. We love talking books, and we love matchmaking people to books. It's very fun. We have a very high success rate with that. And especially in the summer, bring your kids up here. We've got a really great kids section. And we've just got lots of opportunities.
Always
here.
A good way to make the summer go by.
Always.
All right, Tina, thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Joining
thank
us
you.
And Dying to Ask. We appreciate it.
Me too.
And then, of course, Jeff, the best ways to keep up with us.
I am at producer Jeff with a G.
With a G.
With a G.
And two Fs.
And two Fs. And an E and O in the middle.
Wow, that's a lot to follow. And you'll find me on Instagram at RunReadSip. Happy reading, and we'll see you next time on Dying to Ask.
Bye.